Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru Sri Guru. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasna Gurudaya Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane. Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Prachavane. Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatade Shatarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 64, Verse 25. Brahmanasya Vadanasya Tavadasasya Keshava Snitir Nadyapi Vidvasta Bhagavat Sandarshan Artinaha. Brahmanasya, who are devoted to Brahmanas. Vadanasya, who was generous. Tava, your dasasya, of the servant. Keshava, O Krishna, Smriti, memory. Na, not. Adya, today. Api, even. Vidvasta, lost. Bhavat, your. Sandarshana, audience. Artana, who hankered for. Translation, O Keshava, as your servant I was devoted to the Brahmanas and generous to them, and I always hankered for your audience. Therefore, even till now, I have never forgotten my past life. Report, Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse as follows. Since King Nirga openly declared that he had two outstanding qualities, namely devotion to the Brahmanas and generosity, it is clear that he possessed these qualities only partially, since someone who was truly pure would not boast about them. It was also clear that King Nirga considered such piety to be a separate goal, desirable for its own sake. Thus, he did not fully appreciate pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Krishna had not been the only goal of Nirga's life, as he was for Ambarish Maharaj, even in the stage of regulative practice. Nor do we find that King Nirga overcame obstacles like those Ambarish did when Durvasa Muni became angry at him. Still, we can conclude that since Nirga was able to see the Lord for some reason or another, He must have had the good quality of sincerely desiring the Lord's association. Srila Prabhupada confirms the above analysis in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. On the whole, Nriga had not developed Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person develops love of God, Krishna, not love for pious or impious activities. Therefore, he is not subjected to the results of such action. As stated in Brahma Samhita, a devotee by the grace of the Lord does not become subjected to the resultant reactions of fruit of activities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers the following commentary. When Nriga mentioned one who hankered to have your audience, he was referring to an incident concerning a certain great devotee King Nriga had once met. This devotee was very eager to acquire a temple for a most beautiful deity, the Supreme Lord, and he also wanted copies of such scriptures as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Being very generous, Nriga arranged for these things, and the devotee was so satisfied that he blessed the king. My dear king, may you have the audience of the Supreme Lord. From that time on, Nriga desired to see the Lord. Translation. O Keshava, as your servant, I was devoted to the brahmanas and generous to them, and I always hankered for your audience. Therefore, even till now, I have not forgotten my past life. So, here the king, formerly the king, explains his situation. So he describes his qualities. He was devoted to brahmanas, as was evident from the charity that he gave them, and he was generous to them, so he is quite attached to doing pious activities. But he also mentions that he hankered to see the Lord. He was a servant of the Supreme Lord, or identified himself as such. But then the problem comes, if he is a devotee of the Lord, why didn't the Lord save him from all of the problems of this curse and becoming a lizard? And we see in the case of Amrish that Durvasa was very angry at him, but Amrish didn't get any effect at all, and rather the opposite. Durvasa got the curse. He had to suffer instead. But we don't see that in the case of this king. So why the Lord did not protect this king as he had protected Ambarish Maharaj? And the answer must be that, though it says he was a devotee here, Tavadasa, I'm your servant, it was not to the same extent. So he says that he was longing to see the Lord, but obviously it could not be to the extent of service that Ambarish was doing. In fact, Ambarish was not interested in his kingdom at all, and he gave all the responsibilities to other persons, and he was simply worshiping the Lord and performing bhakti. Though he did charitable activities, he was in no way attached to those activities also. On the other hand, we see here that King Nriga was quite, he identified himself with this charity to the brahmanas and doing activities for the brahmanas, etc. And consequently, his devotion to the Lord must have been much less. And as Vishnu Chakravarti explains, that he got a blessing from a brahmana because he helped the brahmana get a deity of the Lord, so the brahmana blessed him. But obviously he was not absorbed in the Lord's service. He took the charitable activities and service to the brahmanas as more important than devotion to the Lord. So yes, he has some devotion to the Lord, but not so prominent. And therefore, the result was different. He was not protected to the same degree as Ambarish. Nevertheless, we can see that because Krishna ultimately saved him and he got darshan of the Supreme Lord, that he got some advantage from this also. He desired to see the Lord, and consequently, he got to see the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from the lizard body. So he was not completely bereft of the Lord's protection, but at the same time, the Lord did not act for him as he acted for Ambarish, because his devotion was not to the same degree. So, therefore, it is good to worship the Supreme Lord, but according to the purity of that service and the intensity of that service, the Lord responds differently to different persons. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as you surrender unto me, accordingly I respond. So with a little devotion, the Lord does something, and more devotion, the Lord does more. And if the devotee has prema, then the Lord gives himself to the devotee completely, as he gave himself to Ambarish. So, therefore, we have to assume here that those not mentioned directly, that though he mentions that he was a devotee of the Lord and longed to see the Lord, still, it was not so prominent as his interest in charitable activities. So this is the type of bhakti, definitely, and he got some result for that. He got darshan of the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, it's not pure, because there's a prominence of charitable activities. Now, charitable activities also are mentioned in the scripture, and respect for the brahmanas and supporting the brahmanas is also mentioned in scripture as activity we can do. So it is approved by the Lord. So it is approved charity. But still, direct service to the Lord is the measure of bhakti. So if that is prominent, then it becomes, we call it bhakti. If it is a minor factor, then we can call it karma yoga. So in karma yoga, yes, they worship the Lord. We don't call it bhakti, even though they're doing some bhakti, because it is not so prominent. And main feature is something else. Here we see domination of charitable activities to the Brahman as more prominent than service to the Lord. So you can say this karma yoga. And when the prominence of bhakti is there, then we call it bhakti. But it may be mixed bhakti. A prominence of bhakti with a little bit of material contamination. So then we call that karma misra bhakti. He mixes the activities of karma yoga slightly with the activities of bhakti. So he's mainly doing bhakti, but he's got some karma activities mixed in there. So we call that karma misra bhakti. So that is superior to this form, where it's prominently karma yoga with a little bhakti. Definitely Krishna approves that, and he says that the Arta Jagasa Arta Tigyani Cha, they are my devotees. So he accepts these, and these are called types of devotion. But it may be mixed devotion, karma misra bhakti or gyan misra bhakti. So that's better, but still it's not perfect. Of course, we can say that as an explanation of nectar devotion, karma and jnana and other processes should not obstruct the devotion. So you can do the karma yoga or the charitable activities along with your bhakti, as long as it does not obstruct the bhakti. It obstructs the bhakti if we're very attached to those karma yoga activities, and we think if we don't do them, then we're committing sin. Or if we have desire for material results through those activities, then they become contaminating and they obstruct bhakti. Therefore, it's not called pure bhakti. So we can do pure bhakti, and we can also do these activities if one is completely detached from those activities and is willing to give them up also. So one may do the activities, just to set an example for others, as a king would do. So we see that Ambarish also performed charitable activities for others, assigned people to do that, but he was not really attached to them at all. So he's doing it simply because he's a king. Or similarly, Yudhisthira would do charitable activities, but
He's not attached to them.
But he's doing to set an example as a king, to show as an ideal person who is not attached to his wealth. And he's following scriptural injunctions. So the mixture may be there of activities of karma yoga as long as no material desire is there. Then we can still call it pure bhakti. So that is quite often the case, and we see in our sampradaya that we have devotees, and to some extent they're following the varnashramic activities also, but not really attached to them at all. Then we have some who don't do any of the activities of varnashram at all, no punya, no nothing, they just do bhakti. It's also permitted. But even if we just do bhakti, and no varnashram, no jnana, no other yoga, no mixture in that way, it can still be contaminated. So we can have tamagun bhakti, rajagun bhakti, and sattvagun bhakti, even without the mixture of portions of karma yoga. We can have wrong desires in that bhakti, even without the angas of karma yoga or jnana yoga. That's also impure. So this is what we call tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun bhakti. So if we mix it with tamagun, what do we have? We're to only do bhakti, nothing else, but our desire is tamagun. We want to destroy other people. It's destructive bhakti. We got destructive intent in our bhakti. And if it's rajagun bhakti, we still have material desires to fulfill through our bhakti. And we don't mix karma yoga with it, but still we have material desires to fulfill in our bhakti. So we're worshipping Krishna to get material assets, etc. And then we just do bhakti when we have sattvagun influence. What is that? We can desire liberation, become peaceful, give up, get rid of all of our karmas and get liberation. That's sattvagun bhakti. So these also not good, have to be rejected. So pure bhakti ultimately means no other desire except the desire to please the Lord. And we can mix elements of karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga as long as they don't act as an obstacle and produce other desires or other goals, and they don't are not prominent in the process. So the main idea is the purity of the intention in performing that bhakti. So that is the best bhakti, because that gives the highest result. And it's that bhakti which ultimately controls the Lord. When we do the mixed bhakti, it does not control the Lord to the same extent. Certainly the Lord will help those persons, because Krishna says that the arta jigasa artati, they are my devotees. So he acts for those devotees also. And we see in the case of Gajendra, mixed bhakti, he was had material desire in doing his bhakti, but the Lord responded to him, even though he had material desires, and he saved him from the crocodile, etc. But for the one who practices pure bhakti, the Lord will do much more than that. So, in this way, the Lord responds to devotion. In different ways. So the one who is prominently doing karma yoga but has a little bhakti, the Lord will respond to that. He'll respond more to the person who's doing bhakti with a little karma yoga and with desires in it. But he responds the best to a person who's doing pure bhakti with no desires at all. And that is what leads to prema. And prema, the Lord comes under the control of the devotee. So that gives the best result in terms of bhakti. If the devotion is less than even this, we can say, what is it? It'd be accidental devotion. So even accidental devotion has power, but less. So the result of accidental bhakti, as in the case of Ajamil, is it can get rid of your karmas. That much you can do. If we do intentional bhakti of different sorts, then we get better result. A lower stage than that is, of course, no bhakti at all, accidental, so nothing happens. And then the negative is the aparadha, committing aparadhas against the devotee, against the Lord, against the process of bhakti. So that gives the worst effect, more than sinful activity. It gives a worse effect. So sinful activity can give you material suffering. Aparad can give you not only material suffering, but absence of bhakti. So that's a worse result. Therefore, the Lord responds to different persons in different ways. But the highest response is for the person who is practicing pure bhakti. It is not really pure because the devotee is practicing, and in practice he still has anarthas. But his intention is to please the Lord. And when he performs his bhakti, he is not desiring material results from his bhakti. So that is called pure bhakti, and that is considered what leads to prema, the highest result. So, in this way, we have different examples of different types of bhakti in the Bhagavatam. So here's an example where there's a prominence of karma and a little bit of bhakti. So, not the best. Nevertheless, King Nirga gets a result finally. Now, he had to suffer as a lizard, but then he also got darshan of the Supreme Lord. He got rescued from the lizard body by the Supreme Lord himself. So he got direct mercy of the Lord also. And we have the higher forms of bhakti as well. Mixed devotion in the form of Gajendra, for instance. Or of Dhruva. Devotion with desiring material results. And then we have pure bhakti, as in the case of Ambarish and others. So that gives the highest result of all. So through these examples, we can understand the various types of bhakti and the bhakti which is preferable. That is the highest type of bhakti, that is pure bhakti. So this is one of the goals of the Bhagavatam, to present bhakti in its purest form, which will produce the highest result, prema. So even if we do pure bhakti, we have different varieties. So we have Vaidhi bhakti in sadhana, and we have Raghunuga bhakti in sadhana. Both with the idea of Anya Abhilashita Shunya. And so there is a little difference, but it's all pure bhakti, so it all gives prema. So you get prema from Vaidhi bhakti, you get prema from Raghunuga bhakti. Of the two, scripture says Raghunuga is quicker and Vaidhi becomes slower. And other than that, what is the difference? The difference is the realization. And we can say ultimately the extent to which the Lord comes under the control of the devotee. And what form of realization we get. So through Vaidhi Bhakti, definitely one can control the Lord, as we see in the case of Ambarish or others. Yes, they can also control the Lord, they also get prema. But the realization is Vishnu. Or if we worship Krishna, we can realize Krishna, but Krishna in Dwarka or Mathura, where there is understanding that Krishna is Supreme Lord. So Vaidhi Bhakti produces reverence and fear, and that continues into the prema. So in the prema, then we're still thinking Krishna is supreme, and therefore I should be a little afraid of him at all times. So this interferes with the spontaneity of rasa. Even though Krishna displays, with Krishna one can display Vatsalya or Madhurya or Sakya or Dasya. It restricts it to some degree. And if we practice doing Raghunuga, then the prema that results has no fear. And therefore, the Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya can be freely expressed and become stronger. And then one realizes Krishna in Vrindavan. So these are the two processes that are also described. So in a lot of the Bhagavatam, when it describes worshippers of Vishnu, then it is predominated by Vaidhi Bhakti. When we see the devotees of Krishna and Vrindavan, particularly the inhabitants, then this is Raga. Of course, in Vrindavan it is not Raganuga because it's no longer sadhana. It's called Ragatmaka Bhakti. So Nanda, Yasoda, and the gopis and cowherd boys have Ragatmaka Bhakti, full of this Raga. Pure devotion without any feeling of reverence and fear. And that's called Raga. So Ragatmaka Bhaktas are those persons in spiritual world. So, in order to attain such a level, like the people of Vrindavan, one should follow after them and take the devotees as one's ideal. One can be something like them in the spiritual world. So that's called Raganuga. So in this way, Bhagavatam presents all different types of bhakti and the different types of results that one gets from the different processes. But Krishna appears, then the results become more remarkable, even for the mixed bhakta or whatever. So we see here King Nriga was doing karma yoga with a little bhakti. He got a nice result because he got to see the Lord, etc. Or the case of the serpent, that the snake that swallowed Nanda Maharaj or whatever. We find they get some good result. And not only devotees get good result, demons get good results. Remarkable results, more remarkable than with Vishnu or other forms of the Lord. So what to speak of devotees who act favorably for Krishna, then they get extraordinary results, more than anyone else. If they do mixed devotion, they get good results. If they do pure bhakti, they get good results. So in this way, the Bhagavatam gives us illustration of all these different forms of bhakti and also the preferable form as well, which is exemplified in the 10th canto in the description of the inhabitants of Vrindavan.
Normal people who are doing mixed devotional service, and suddenly Lord appears and gives his mercy to him. So how do we understand? Like, either he is doing at a pure level, or few devotees like who are doing mixed bhakti, or they have fallen. Like we say, Putna, she was just a daughter or a sister of Bali Maharaj, and she suddenly sees and she wants to feed Lord, and then Lord, she came as a Putna, and Lord gave her mercy. In between, we don't see any results, Lord. But Lord behaves very whimsical, Mother, on his own. So how do we understand
well,
that?
Well, we get some extraordinary results when Krishna appears and he interacts with various persons, even with the demons. So if he kills the demon, they get liberation or they go to the spiritual world. But because that's remarkable, he doesn't kill everybody. He only kills some people, the great demons. Other persons, maybe neutral or whatever, but if they see the Lord, like Krishna directly, they get also advancement through that process also. The bhakti may be a little weak or whatever. And if they have pure devotion, then they get higher results. If they have mixed devotion like this, they get lesser result. Even these people that get lesser results due to imperfect practice, impure practice, when they get to a certain level, they can also become pure devotees, as we see with the case of Dhruva. He had mixed bhakti in the beginning, but he gave up that later on, and he desired only service to the Lord ultimately. So a little bit flexible for these persons who are practicing impurely and they get mercy of the Lord. They can change and they can develop pure bhakti, and then they also get the highest result. Some may not change, so therefore they end up with a different type of a neutral result in the spiritual world or whatever. They can also progress, they can go to the spiritual world, but the result is less intense relationship with the Lord. Desire of the individual plus association.
and not getting proper knowledge to become inspired to practice pure bhakti, to become inspired to get the highest goal. So it's, usually we can say ultimately it is association and mercy of devotees which will determine the final result.
Generally there is a pure devotional service is very rare. A sadhaka gives it possibly sometimes as an excuse. Pure devotion is very rare, so I am still in this level, I cannot go to that level. And that becomes possibly an excuse to be engaged in a lesser activity, Maharaj. How to overcome this attitude in a sadhaka? Pure devotion is very rare, so I am not qualified for that, it's very rare. He just does devotional service but still continues with other activities which are not recommended for pure devotion.
No, one can do so many different activities and still do pure bhakti. Like Ambarish. He did so many activities as king, but he was doing pure bhakti. Or we can say, well, he's on prema level. But even if not on prema, people do sadhana also, they can do many activities and still do pure bhakti. So pure bhakti is defined as sadhana, bhava and prema. Then you can't attain the bhava and the prema and pure bhakti unless you do pure bhakti and sadhana. And in sadhana, one can be nirapeksha and completely renounce all activities and just do bhakti. But that's rather rare. So most people are doing that pure bhakti, but they're also doing other activities in this world. And it's still possible. The main thing is that when you do the bhakti, you're not praying for material results or liberation. You're only trying to please the Lord. So that is not so difficult to do if one has proper knowledge.
Well, this Vaidya Bhakti can also award the prema in Aishwarya Goloka?
Yeah.
We get the result accordingly, like if we replace Brahmanas with Vaishnavas.
Well, we see the example and the story of, what is it, Rupa Goswami, he laughed and some sadhu got agitated and he thought he was laughing at him. So therefore his devotion decreased a little bit and he didn't know how it happened. So therefore he went to his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, he said, must be, the only thing that can decrease bhakti is aparad. So you must have offended somebody. And he said, I don't see anybody, so how can I offend anybody? That's the only reason that bhakti can decrease. So therefore, the only way he could find out is he would see if he had offended somebody. So he held a big feast and everybody was there. And the person that wasn't there was the one who was offended. So that way he found out that he had laughed at that, but it wasn't at that person, but the person took offense to that, and that's why his bhakti decreased. So it could happen, but of course the effect of the unintentional is much less than intentional. Here again it was unintentional, but people got disturbed, the Brahmins got disturbed. So in devotional service, another Vaishnava may also become disturbed. And so one may have to suffer for the, let's say, the so-called aparad or whatever. It will also depend on the advancement of the devotee. So if it's more disturbed and he's a greater devotee, then we get more effect, more bad effect. And if it's a lesser devotee or a mixed devotee or something and he's disturbed, then we get much less effect.
Maharaj, but that way staying in devotee community is very scary then. And we are surrounded by devotees and then we become ourselves. We are natural, normal, and we just can go on offending people.
Well, we see here in the case of Nirga, it was because he had a prominence of karma yoga and a little bit of bhakti only. But if he had been prominently bhakti, then he wouldn't have got this result at all. So if we are doing bhakti, and pure bhakti of that, then we don't have to fear such negative results as we see here. Now, of course, as a Vaishnava aparad, you may get some decrease in the bhakti for some reason or the other according to the advancement of the person. But still, it is not so serious as these effects where the person is doing a minor type of bhakti.
Yes.
giving to the temple is devotional service. But of course, your attitude also is important there. So if you regard the charity as simply a charitable activity, not with real devotion to the Lord, then that gives some result, but a more or less accidental result. Because they would give charity anywhere, and they also give to the temple, so it is more or less accidental bhakti, agata sukriti. Those who give to the temple, understanding that it is pleasing to the Lord, and they're trying to please the Lord, then of course it is just bhakti.
You see that in the case of King Mirga, I think he is following this bhakti mishra karma, means karma is prominent and bhakti is, he is taking the bhakti bhakti as an instrument to achieve his desired result. Correct. It's bhakti mishra karma, correct.
Yeah.
So that means that even the bhakti mishra karma also give the result of seeing the Lord.
In the case of Krishna.
Yeah. Even we see when this Dhruva Maharaj, the same thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You can say he's almost like a karmi, and his result is only to
he was only doing bhakti because he was worshipping the Lord, deity of the Lord, but he had desire for material things. So that was bhakti, that's karma or bhakti, you can say.
Yeah. And another question, like you are explaining about the different goal, like those who are following the Vaidya Bhakti, they can go to Vaikuntha, Dwaraka, or Ashira Goloka. So in this kind of see, maximum people, maximum devotees are following the Vaidya Bhakti, but rarely devotees are following the Raghavan Bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
So can you say that they will be end up in a Aishwarya highest, not the Gopala?
If they continue up into Bhava and Prema with that Vaidhi mood, then if they at a certain point change, then they go to Goloka, Aishwarya, or if they go to Gokul in the spiritual world. Otherwise, they go to Aishwarya Goloka or Dwarka, or something like that.
But the Dwaraka can go if there is no Madhuri Rasa.
Yeah. Queens.
Yeah, as a queens. If there is no Madhuri Rasa.
All the Rasas are there in Dwarka also.
But it's prominent is a Madhuri Rasa, isn't it?
Hmm?
Prominent is a Madhuri Rasa in Dwaraka. But we see only there is a.
No, Dasya is also there.
Uddhava and this.
Dasya is there. Vatsalya is there, and with the Vasudev Devaki.
We don't see Sakyarasa in Dwaraka, that must.
Slight. Uddhava is a slight Sakya mixed into his Dasya.
Hmm.
Some of the Pandavas have a little Sakya mixed into their Dasya, also, like Arjuna.
Mm-hmm.
Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.